confess our faith to God, our Father, and plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. glory to God on high.
The strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 45th chapter. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry, and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases?
Who redeems your life from the pit?
Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed for the people?
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed.
May God be made the moment whose path to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep in anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us.
As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, ever and shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, and star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. The one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." This is our text. I once heard of a man who suffered deeply. This man suffered deeply because he was plotted against by his and betrayed by his closest companions. The people who should have loved him and cared for him most stabbed him in the back without any remorse or second thoughts. And those same people, when they could have come clean, they chose to make up a story to cover their tracks, and others believed it. Meanwhile, that betrayed guy suffered quite a few twists and turns in his life. He was enslaved. He had false accusations thrown against him. He ended up unjustly imprisoned. Every time you thought that he'd hit rock bottom, things got even worse. He was used and humiliated, forgotten by those he befriended, and mistreated over and over again. Until one day his life took a radical change for the better. It wasn't luck, it wasn't fate, it wasn't even hard work, it was God, divine providence. With the Lord's help, this suffering man came into a position of great authority. Whatever he said, it was done. And then came the moment that he'd probably been dreaming about. The very people who betrayed him decades earlier now stood in front of him. The tables were turned, and this time their lives were in his hands. Even better, they didn't recognize him, but he knew who they were. How could he forget all that they'd done to him? And what would you do if you were in his shoes? What if that moment you dreamed about came true? What if that person or those people stood in front of you now and they finally had to answer for what they've said or done, for the misery and the sleepless nights that they've caused? What if you could pay them back without their ever knowing that it was you? Would you ask God to punish him? To destroy her? Would you do to them as they've done to you? That person who cheated you? The one who lied about you? The guy who took credit for your work? The gal who spread gossip about you? Or how about that dude who dented your car and then just drove off? Oh, sweet revenge. Our culture would tell us to give it back just like we received it. Turnabout's fair play. With the measure you received, measure it back to them. And maybe a little more on top for interest. We've been taught to stand up for ourselves. From the playground to the water cooler, ain't no one gonna push me around. You can't just let people walk all over you. If you want others to respect you, you've got to respect yourself. Learn to set boundaries. Say no, right? Otherwise, you'll be taken advantage of. And everyone assumes that being taken advantage of, being played for a fool, being treated with disrespect, being the object of hatred, or simply being dismissed, is the ultimate failure in life. Jesus says otherwise. He knows differently. You heard it already in the gospel reading this morning. He offers a vision for his disciples and for the church that is very different than the vision of the world. What is it? Quite simply, he calls his disciples to love their enemies. And he describes this in concrete detail. Listen again to what he teaches. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic, your inner garment either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. His kingdom is not of this world. If you love those who love you, he says, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. When I hear those words, I simply cry out, but that's impossible, Lord. You've got to be exaggerating there. No one can do that. And we're right. This is impossible for sinners. We sinners know how to love those who love us. We know how to do good to those who do good to us. That's called quid pro quo. You do something for me, and I'll do something for you. But to love, to truly love our enemies, we don't have that in us. To be offered a moment of sweet revenge and use it to forgive? No way. Who in their right mind would do that? Jesus. That's who. And you know, some of the people did accuse him of being out of his mind, but in fact, he was the only one who was in his right mind. It's the rest of the world that's insane. It's the rest of the world that's crazy. Everyone else has forgotten what it really means to live. And that includes us. We think that living means living for ourselves. But Jesus says that's not life. That's death. Jesus was hated, cursed, beaten, abused, mistreated, stripped, abandoned, and crucified. St. Peter describes what he went through in his suffering and death in his first letter. He says it like this: "For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What do you think the hardest thing was? What do you think was the hardest thing that our Lord ever had to do? Was it looking at those who had driven the railroad spikes into his wrists and his feet, and instead of saying, "Curse them," saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? I think that was probably the hardest thing he ever did. And there we see his suffering is the triumph of God's love. He is the Son of the Most High, and so he, like his Father, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He shows mercy, even as his Father in heaven is merciful, even to those who put him on the cross. Jesus here is a window into the heart of the Trinity. In him we see not the wrath of God, but the love and mercy of the Father. And then after his suffering, he came into a position of great authority. He rose from the dead, the first fruits of those who are made alive. But his resurrection was no revenge tour. This wasn't, I've come back and now you're going to get it. He didn't hunt them down to pay them back. Now, true, he did corner St. Peter one time on a beach. St. Peter, who denied him three times. But he cornered Peter only to restore him to the flock and to the office of pastor. He didn't say to Peter, I'm done with you forever. He said, feed my sheep. And there was that moment on the road to Damascus when he appeared to St. Paul, the enemy and persecutor of the church. And what did he do to St. Paul? He made him an apostle. Jesus does just what he said on the cross. He forgives. God's love is powerful. And in the resurrection, Jesus has overcome cursing and abuse and even death itself. That doesn't make it easy, of course. We can't just nod our heads and agree that loving our enemies is a good idea. This is something to be lived every day of every month of every year. And how is that even possible? Only with a new life. Only with wounds healed by him. Only because Jesus is the one who clears the path for us to follow. It starts with his prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And who is he talking about? He's talking about us. Revenge isn't God's proper work. His proper work, what comes naturally to our God, is to be kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Your Father is merciful. He's merciful to you still. And he's merciful to you today. Why, he gives you the bread of peace and the cup of mercy, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't hold your sins against you. So now what becomes of all your dreams of revenge? What will you do with the hurts that you nurse and the grudges you bear? How will you pray for your enemies and bless those who've cursed you? Will you follow the advice of the world? Or will you look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith? St. Paul tells us what to do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We love because he first loved us. We bless because he first blesses us. We give because he first gave to us. We turn the other cheek because he turned the other cheek first. We pray for others because he first prayed for us. We forgive because he first forgave us. And he forgives us still. So what happened to that man whom I told you about in the beginning? The man who'd suffered greatly and then came into a position of authority in which he could exact revenge on those who'd hurt him. What did he do when the brothers who sold him into slavery stood within his power? What was his sweet revenge? Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, I guarantee you, quaking in their boots. And he said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. God sent me here to preserve life. It was not you who sent me here, but God. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he kissed all his brothers. and wept upon them. He provided for them, and he fed them, and he forgave them, and he heaped burning coals of love on their heads. He was merciful. Why? Because he couldn't forget all that God had done. And neither can we. Neither can we. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith like Joseph, that even when tested through hardship and trial, we may believe that God will work all things for good, and that God would even now bring all things to completion according to his purposes in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church, for an end to her earthly divisions, for the true unity of doctrine and faith through God's Word, and for those who lead us in our synod, district, circuit, and in this congregation, especially for President Beinke in his calls as district president and now as assistant pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Bristol, Connecticut, that the Lord would lead and bless his whole church and his workers in every place. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for those who hate and persecute Christians, that by his gracious visitation, God would lead our enemies to true repentance and the same love, to be of one accord, and to share one mind and heart with us and with his whole church. And for those who suffer persecution, that the Lord would uphold, deliver, and strengthen them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. For help amid the changes and chances of this mortal life, that we would be free from doubt and fear, that we would know with joy our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, and that we would not surrender to anxiety, despair, or revenge, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, especially for Kelly, Rachel, and Abby, that they may be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For civil authority and those responsible to God for the welfare of our nation, state, and community, that they would pursue faithfully the cause of justice and protect life from beginning to natural end. And for first responders and those who defend us here or abroad, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and infirm, especially for Patty as she undergoes cataract surgery, Diane and Edith who have been hospitalized, Bruce for restoration of health following surgery, Diane, who was hospitalized with a heart attack, as well as Tamis, Rosemarie, Ano, Paul, Kimberly, Audrey, Joyce, Tiffany, Gwen, Rick, Stan, Luann, and John,
that they may have patience to endure their time of suffering, and that their days may be crowned with God's mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the gift of the Blessed Sacrament, and for a right heart among all who prepare to commune, that by this eating and drinking we would be equipped to love God above all and our neighbors as ourselves. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor, pitiful sinners with no good in us. Our hearts and our flesh and blood are so corrupted by sin that we are never without sinful desires in this life. Therefore, we implore you, forgive us our sins. Let your Holy Spirit so cleanse our hearts that we would love your word, abide by it, and by your grace be saved forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Having climbed through the first high point of the service, we now head toward the second high point. This is the service of the sacrament. In this service, we are preparing to receive Jesus Christ in the flesh. We are aware of heaven on earth. You'll see the kneeling and the bowing. We are making high, showing what we believe, that our Lord Jesus Christ is not out there somewhere, but he is actually right here, coming in his very body and blood. Heaven comes to earth. Isaiah said when he saw the Lord God Almighty, he heard the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And we sing those words with the angels and the archangels. On Palm Sunday, they greeted Jesus by saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We sing those words as well, greeting our Lord as he comes to us. We pray together the Lord's Prayer. It's our table grace. What we need is ready and prepared for us. Our daily bread, the forgiveness of sins, health in temptation and deliverance from evil. And then we hear the words of institution, sometimes called the verbum, the words. Christ himself says these words. They are his. This is my body. This is my blood. And then I turn and hold that very body and blood up to you and pronounce the Easter peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The Lamb of God comes to take away the sin of the world, and we greet him as he comes to us. We sinners trust in his love by faith alone. And then we receive him into our mouths and into our bodies, our Lord himself. And as others come, we sing the communion hymns. We sing of the things that our God has done and is doing and will do for us. After the Holy Communion, we join together in the words of St. Simeon the New Dominus. "Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. We are ready. We are ready to go. We are ready to die." We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And we end the service with the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We end with his face shining on us, with his grace and mercy having been poured out upon us. And from there we go to our week. We continue with the preface.
Lift up your heart, we lift them up to the Lord.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today, Psalm 50, starting at the first verse. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, and he does not keep silent. Before him is devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by my sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting, heart and peace.
Amen. God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may yield to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.